no force that's greater in a child's life than the strong influence of a mother. Amen. Napoleon said the destiny, the future destiny of the child is dependent upon the mother. If you are successful in life right now, you can go back to your mother. Hallelujah. Go back to your mother. Dad, maybe he wasn't there, maybe he had to work, whatever it was, but there was somebody at home nurturing you. Amen. We need to appreciate mothers, not just today, but every day. Hallelujah. And men, if you have children, you appreciate that woman that bore your children. That goes to say whether you're together or not. There is a life and death situation that goes on in the birth of every child. Amen. There's a moment in time, and you need to appreciate that woman did that for you, that she thought enough for you to do that for you. Amen. So today, I want us to look at and appreciate the love of a mother, and not just the love of a mother, but the love of a woman, because there are women who might not physically be mothers, but might be mothers. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There are some mothers who have been mothers and raised their children already and are still mothers. Hey, somebody say amen.
Amen.
There are mothers who go and get children to be mothers to children. Amen. So we're going to look at one of those mothers today. So if you can turn your Bible to the book of Ruth, the first chapter, we'll go from verses 1 to 18. And I'm going to ask the moderator if he can come up and read it for me. Amen. Yeah, you can read it here. Hallelujah.
We're going to be reading Ruth, the first chapter, verses 1 through 18. Let us all stand as for the reading of the word, please.
Hallelujah.
And I'm not sure if this is the NIV version or the NIV version is pastor's version. So yours may read a little differently if you have the King James. Verses 1. In the day when the judges rule and there was a famine in the land, so a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elkanah, and his wife's name was Naomi. The name of his two sons were Maholon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem of Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elkanah, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they married Moabite women, and one name was Orpah, and the other was Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahalion and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. With her two daughter-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out to the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husband and to me. May the Lord grant thee each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? And am I going to have any more sons who could become your husband? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord has turned against me." As this, they wept aloud again. The Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her God gods and go back with her. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will bury. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separate you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So we see here a Jewish family left the promised land to go to Moab because there was a famine in the land. Now there was there's always a famine in the land, and when there's a famine, it's because of disobedience. Hallelujah. So Naomi and her husband, they went to Moab. Now Moab was another country, but the Lord had said, don't go to that country because there was a lot of iniquity going on. But it was flourishing there. They were prosperous there. Amen? So they turned around and they looked and they said they wasn't going to obey God. They were still going to go over here because it looked good. They had money and they could prosper there. Amen? But I'm here to tell you this morning that one thing we need to always consider, it's better to be in poverty where the Lord wants you to be than be somewhere where it's prosperous and iniquity is going on. I'm going to say that again. It's better to be in poverty wherever the Lord wants you to be than to be in prosperity and in iniquity and sin. Amen? So they moved over to Moab. In the course of moving there, Naomi's husband passes away. Her sons marry two illegitimate women, the Moabites, and they're happy. Naomi had her sons to care for her. The sons had their wives. But now after 10 years, the sons died. Disobedience is still in the house, y'all. Amen. So the sons die, and now Naomi is left with no husband, no sons, and two daughter-in-laws. There is no man there to care for them, no man to take care of them. In those days, you needed a male to take care of you. You couldn't even do business in those countries. Amen? So you needed a male figure. So Naomi decides, she hears from the angel that back over, where she came from, it was now prospering. It's sometime later on. It's like maybe 10, 15, maybe 15 years later. Now they're prosperous over there. And she decides, it's better for me to go back there than to stay here. Amen? I venture to say that when you go outside of the will of God and you go somewhere else, you're never going to feel quite as comfortable as you're supposed to be. Even when you're making money and you're prosperous and you're outside of the will of God, you never feel quite right like you're supposed to be. Amen? So even though she was in this foreign country, she was not comfortable. Amen? Her daughter-in-laws were comfortable. They lived there. They knew everybody there. Amen? So now Naomi turns around and tells her daughter-in-laws, listen, I'm going back. You need to stay here. You know, your mothers are here. Your homes, your friends are here. You could find another husband here. Amen? She says, if I found a husband tonight, if I found one tonight and we had sons, would you wait for them? She's saying it's unrealistic for you to think that way. So stay here. Don't go with me. I'm going over there. Get on with your life. That's what she was saying to them. Get on with your life. So here, I want you to understand something. We got three widows. We got a mother-in-law with two daughter-in-laws that she can't do anything with. She was bitter and she was desperate. Hallelujah. And then you got two daughter-in-laws, and they make up their minds what they want to do. I'm going to call one a kisser and the other one a clinger. A kisser and a clinger. Amen? They both cried, the kisser and the clinger. Amen? So crying, and get this right, that crying is not a sign of what's really going on the inside. Because after the crying, the kisser kissed her and decided, I'm going back home, where I know everybody, where I can get another husband or whatever. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna take her suggestion. The clinger said, I'm staying with you. I'm going with you no matter what. Your people are gonna be my people. Your God is gonna be my God. Where you die, I'm gonna die. You know what? In church, we got kisses and we got clingers. You got kisses who say, I'm going to be here, I'm going to do whatever I got to do. But if you say, you know, it's better off somewhere else, they're gone. And you got clingers who said, no matter what, this is my church, this is where I'm going to be, and I'm going to cling to it. The kisser wanted to go back to her old ways. The clinger wanted to do what God wanted her to do. See, 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world or anything in it. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Amen? So you have the kissers that are going to cling to what the world wants them to cling to. Amen? The clinger is just going to hold on. Now let me tell you a little something about Naomi. Naomi didn't have a lot of faith at that time, because she believed that she was out of the will of God. Because if she had the faith of a mustard seed, she would have said, girls, come with me, because my Lord shall provide. So now you have the mother-in-law who was not professing a great faith, because she was in a land where she did not belong, a land of disobedience. So you can't really expect the daughter-in-law to have that greater faith. So mothers, what I'm saying to you, and fathers, what I'm saying to you today, and men, what I'm saying to you, and women, what I'm saying to you, is that if you don't have great faith, when you say something, people, your children, they take a hold of it. Some are going to run with it, and some are going to believe that something great is going to happen in spite of the circumstance. So we need to watch what we say in front of our children. Amen? Amen? Because you go home and you start talking about people in church. Come on, somebody. They're listening to what their mom is saying. Hallelujah. Not just mom, but dad too. Because a lot of times it's a two-way conversation. Hallelujah. So Ruth's response shows us how we should cling to Jesus. You see, this is not just about running back and forth. It's not just about a daughter-in-law. But the example that Ruth is showing us when she says, I will not leave, I am going to be here right with you, that your God is going to be my God, it shows us how we should cling to Jesus. The scripture said, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Don't tell me to leave you. Hallelujah. Or to return from where I came from. But for wherever you go, I am going to go. Wherever you sleep, I am going to sleep. Don't you know that God wants to hear that from us? Jesus wants to hear that from us? That wherever he goes, that we're going. That means that if you're going with him, wherever you go, you're taking him along with you. Some of us don't like to take him along with us. Hallelujah. I don't know if this is a classic Mother's Day sermon, but I know one thing, that you lead us spiritually because we're taught by you as a young child. Hallelujah. So I'm saying that as we see you go as children, we go too. This is about the importance of mothers. This is about the importance of the decisions that we make. Amen? This is about how influential you have been throughout all of history. Amen? Ruth clung to follow. Ruth clung to dwell. She clung to fellowship. Amen? Because going back to where she was, she probably would have been disowned. I don't know about you, but I know growing up, if you went somewhere else, they kind of disowned you when you came back home. You went to hang out in another neighborhood, but I'll put it this way. I'll make it real simple. You know how you got fellas and girls in the neighborhood that you all grow up together and you know each other, but you decide that the ones in your neighborhood ain't good enough for you, so you go somewhere else? And then something happened and you go back home? And then nobody want to be bothered with you back home because you left the neighborhood? Come on, somebody. So this is what happened. Every time you go home, you're not always welcome back home. But Ruth said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not even going to try that. Where you go, I'm going. You see, even in our relationship with Jesus, he turns you around. He cleans you up. He puts you on solid ground. And all those people that you left behind, you turn around and you go back to them, they're going to ask you, well, what happened? You was too good for us. You can't even hang out with us no more. You cannot go back to where you came from. It's not going to be the same. Hallelujah. Ruth understood this. Oprah did not. Amen? Ruth said, I am going to be with you until we die together, until you die or I die. We're going to travel together. Now, what Ruth did was that was a confession of love. Amen? It was a confession of faith. It was a declaration of a strong woman's choice. As Ruth clung to the woman she loves, she announced her decision. Amen? When you love somebody, you will announce your decision about your love. Amen? You didn't hear Oprah denounce anything. She just kissed and ran. Her relationship with Naomi wasn't as great as it appeared. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you are in a relationship and somebody always kisses and run, and they can't make a declaration about it, you need to check that relationship. So now, they come all the way back to the village of Bethlehem, Naomi and Ruth. They were like two strange women now, and they were poverty stricken. One of them was a Jew and one was a Gentile. Amen? And neither of them was welcome. You see, Naomi, because she left, she lost her place in the community. Hallelujah. And now, not only did you leave your place, but you're bringing another stranger in with you, and she's not even a Jew. You said that's your daughter-in-law too? So she had a couple of strikes against her. But I ask you now, when you look at this story of Ruth, who is the hero in this story? The book is named Ruth, but we're talking about Naomi. Who is the hero? The hero, to me, is Naomi, because she took her daughter-in-law to a place. She wasn't embarrassed by her, but she took her to a place where she could thrive. She said, we're going to do this together. So I say to mothers and mothers-in-laws, amen, you have the power to bring people through to a place that they would not even be welcome. You have that power because as you overcome, your people, your seeds overcome. Amen? Now let's say that Naomi decided that I'm not going to have part of this, that I'm going to get rid of Ruth, and I'm going to get rid of Oprah. I'm not going to have anything to do with them. She tried to do that. But I tell you, when the Lord has got a plan, you can say all that you want to say. You could do all that you want to do. But when his plan is in motion, you can't do nothing but say, amen. Amen. Because God was in the midst of Naomi bringing Ruth back to Bethlehem. Amen. Because when you go down the line, you further read that all of a sudden there was a man who showed up named Boaz who turned around and took this stranger and married her. Amen? So poverty turned to riches. Poverty turned to glory. Part of the problem is that we're so busy chasing after Bozo that we can't get our Boaz. So further on down the storyline, if you really want to know, you see, Ruth married Boaz. But along that line, in the seed of that line, there was a baby born. And further along that line, there was somebody named David that we know King David who came through that line. Hallelujah. And if Naomi never brought Ruth along, David would have never been born. But David was in God's plan before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time, God knew that he was going to make David king. He knew that David was going to be a man after his own heart. He knew David was going to sin. He knew David was going to be an adulterer. But he knew David had a heart for God. But further on down the line, what happened in the Davidic line? There was a man born out of that line called Jesus Christ. And if Naomi didn't take Ruth by the hand and then bring them along and David wasn't born, Jesus Christ would have never been in that lineage. So your Lord and Savior, it would have been changed. But I tell you what, God would have never let that happen, because when he has a plan for your life, it is a plan for your life, like it or not. Remember, I'm just talking about a woman who had the guts to stand up against society and say, this is my daughter-in-law. This is who my son married. And we're coming back and we're going to be together and we're going to work until God works this thing out for us. Sometimes we just got to get in the trenches and work till God works it out. They was doing the lowest of the low type of work to get something to eat, gleaning wheat. But God made a way. Because Boaz looked and he saw it, and he says, you make sure you leave something for these women to have. No matter what the enemy tries to do to you, God is going to make sure that they're going to be something for you to eat. You might not have no money, but God is going to make sure that your bills are going to be paid. God is going to make sure that you have a roof over your head. God is going to make sure that you have food to eat. All you have to do is exhibit the faith and understand that I got to keep working because my God is good. We learn that all things work together for the good of them that love God. Amen? Hallelujah. Naomi, she might have got off track for a little bit, but she did realize that she did love the Lord. Hallelujah. When she left the land of disobedience and came into the land of obedience, her faith began to increase again. Hallelujah. That's just to say that sometimes you might fall off the wagon because you don't have the faith that you're supposed to have. But as you come back into the house of the Lord, as you start reading the word of God, as you start fellowship with your people, your faith will start increasing. And God can work with that. But he can't work with disobedience. He can't work without you studying the word. He can't work without you being faithful to him. He gives you a little bit. He gives you more as your faith increases. He can't give you too much because you can't handle it. And I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about me too. Hallelujah. There are times, and I know that it's hard for some people to believe. And just as it was hard for Naomi to believe. But as you cling to your faith, you will learn that if you don't have it here, you're going to have it later on. And if you don't have it now, your seed is going to have it later on. Amen? We learned from Naomi that the power for blessing may not just be in one life. Hallelujah. The power for blessing might not be just in your life. It might be in your mom's life as a result of what you do. It might not be in your life, but it might be in your daughter's life as a result of what you do. It might not be in your life. It might be in your grandson's life as a result of what you do. We're so busy looking at the time that we spend, but God's time is outside of time. So when he decides that he wants to bless the seed of faithfulness, it's his decision. Ruth had no idea the line, the divinic line that she was planting, that she was starting. If Oprah knew that, Oprah would have stayed. I always say, if you knew what you knew, what you know now, you would have did it different. But there's no time to do anything different. Sometimes you get one shot, one decision, one chance, one opportunity to get it right. And you can't look at the obvious. You have to look at the spirit, what the spirit of God is telling you. On the outside, it didn't look good. But the spirit of the Lord working in Ruth said, you know what? She's been faithful to me. She's my mother-in-law. I loved her son. I'm going to be faithful to her. Look at what happened to her faith. She got another husband. She got another husband. Boaz. A ruler, plenty. He's in the land of plenty. He was a ruler. She got another opportunity for her faithfulness. Hallelujah. She never thought that she would enrich the world that she did. Hallelujah. When she said, thy people are going to be my people, she was prophesying over her life, over her generations, and didn't even know it. When she said, your God is going to be my God, she was prophesying over generations. Hallelujah. She said, I won't go back. I'm going to look forward. I'm not going to look to the left, and I'm not going to look to the right, because God has planted this in me. I'm going to move forward. And that's what some of us has got to do. We can't look to the left. We can't look to the right, because God has planted you somewhere. He has given you something to do, and you got to move forward. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord this morning. Somebody give him some praise. Somebody give him the highest praise that we could give him sometimes. Oh, it was faith by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. If you're looking around to see what you're going to get, you can keep looking and you won't get nothing. But if you close your eyes and cling on to the Lord, God is going to bless you. I know today some things don't look good for somebody, for some people, but if you hold on to God's unchanging hand and let him do his work, God is going to work it out. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a one of Ruth's great grandbabies, who knew that was Jesus Christ? He had an auspicious beginning, born in a manger, another poor boy. But look at him, he was the king of all kings. What you see on the outside. What you see on the outside, it's not always the end. It could be the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say that because there was a young man who used to come in here. And when you saw him come in here, he looked like crazy. He had shorts on, little dirty, staying in the shelter, coming talking about, well, you know, I just got out of the hospital. And we were like, yeah, okay. You look at him today, he's put on a lot of weight. He looks pretty clean. He's working down the block. What we saw in the beginning is not what you're going to see now. Hallelujah. But God is still doing a work in him. But just to see God do some work in him, hallelujah, should raise our hallelujahs. It should raise our thank you, Lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so one woman, that's all it took was one woman. One woman being faithful to God just created a whole highway for all of us to go through to get to that Savior. One woman, just one. It don't take a lot. Jesus only needed 12 disciples. It's still changing the world, upside down. But it took that one woman for Jesus to get here. Do you hear me? It took that one woman with that one faith to understand that God is leading her, that for Jesus to get here. Hallelujah. All your blessings come through your faithfulness to Christ. But it took that one. You don't need that person to the left. You don't need that. You just need that one you with that faith of a mustard seed. That one woman. I just want to know this morning, are you a kisser or are you clinging? Are you a kisser or are you clinging? Somebody, are you a kisser or are you clinging? Hallelujah. Are you just kissing the Lord on Sunday and then you're everything else Monday through the rest of the week through Saturday? Or are you clinging to the Lord Monday, Sunday to Sunday? Because sometimes you got to cling. You got to hold on. You got to hold on until his feet, because the enemy's after you. You ever see them people playing football? They're trying to make a tackle. They're trying to hold on, and they just got the foot of that person. They're being dragged. They're being dragged, but they're holding on. They're clinging. Sooner or later, they're going to get a little help because somebody's going to help them tackle that person. You got to hold on to God because he's going to send some help. He's going to help you tackle those problems that you're going through. They're not going to get away. They're going to go down to the ground. It's going to be over with, but you got to hold on to that leg. You got to hold on to his unchanging hand. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she just touched a piece of his garment. She didn't have a whole handful. She just touched. She just grabbed what she could grab. Sometimes we just got to grab whatever we could grab and hold on to it. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the power of the, if it was not for the faithful woman. Hallelujah. If it was not for the faithfulness of Ruth. If it was not for her, hallelujah. Let me explain something else to you about the power of woman. You know what? When our Lord and Savior was dying on that cross, when he was being crucified, I said this before, I'll say it again. You know who was in the crowd ministering to him? The woman. The mothers. They don't. All the disciples, they were gone. His brothers was there. A couple of them was there. But they don't say the 12 was there. A couple of the brothers that was there. He had some natural brothers, some half-brothers. They were there. But the scripture said it was the woman that was ministering to him. Listen, if not for the faithful woman. Matthew 27:55 said, many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. They said many women were watching from a distance because they wanted to care for his needs. Hallelujah. Whatever his needs were, they were there to care for him. That's the power of a woman. That's the power of a mother. That's the love of a mother. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 15:40 puts it this way. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them, there were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. That's another scripture in the four Gospels that's telling you, as Jesus was being crucified, as they were being taken up, the woman was there. I want to tell you about the power of mothers, the power of the woman. Because not only was his mothers there, but her girlfriends were there. Oh, did I say that? Did I say that? We're so busy telling people, I can't stand your girlfriend. But there's power when they get together. And we just can't stand it because we're standing alone trying to break that circle, that sisterhood that they have. But there's power in the womanhood and the sisterhood and the motherhood. Oh, hallelujah. Have you ever gone into a circle where there's sisters who are arm in arm and you can't get a breakthrough? Come on, fellas, you can't get a breakthrough because them sisters are standing there together knowing that you don't mean well. Because they care for one another. They love one another. They fight, but they love one another. Because the love is stronger than the fighting. Men, we fight, we can't stand each other. They fight and come back together. And they say, girl, you know, I really didn't mean what I said. You say, you know, that's right, girl. I love you. I love you too. Let's go shopping. Another scripture, Luke 23:27 says, a large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. Oh, hallelujah. Here, another gospel. The gospel of Luke is saying many mothers were following him, many women following him. He said, don't worry about me. Take care of your children. That's your charge, mothers and women. Take care of your children. Your children don't have to be your birth children. It don't have to be your birth children. Because I needed many women to pull my ear when my mother wasn't around and set me straight. They get you and then tell your father. Hallelujah. Because it couldn't wait till he got home. Sometimes whenever he did get home. You didn't catch that, that's okay. But your mothers are the ones in the home. They're raising the children. They're feeding them. They're telling them how to hold their fork, how to hold their knives, how to cover their face when they cough, when they sneeze. When they go to the bathroom, who's changing the diapers, changing the clothes? I know some things have changed a little bit. Some things have changed a little bit. But for a lot of us, we ain't do that. We ain't want to do that. We smell something, oh, I got to go to the store. You need anything from the store? You sure? There's things that mothers do. The mother's love is incredible. Believe you me, I am not putting down dads. We got our own time coming. We got our own day, but this is a day to recognize mothers. Hallelujah. Don't be mad at me. I'm not a man-hating, father-hating guy, because I'm one. But this is for the mothers. Hallelujah. John puts it this way. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. His mother's sister, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said, woman, here is your son. Jesus saw his mother. Now, I don't know where Joseph was. I don't know if Joseph was dead or alive. But I know one thing. He wasn't there. If Jesus had an uncle, the Bible don't tell me that he was there. But the Bible does tell me that when he looked out into the crowd, he saw his mother standing there and his mother's sister. So, not only, like I said before, not only do you have the mother, but you have the auntie too. Because auntie cares for you just as much as the mother. And if you think that you can get away with something, auntie will take care of it too. I know that there's some aunties in here right now that if they see their niece or their nephew doing something, they're going to ring them in and pull them aside. But I want you to know this morning that if it was not for the faithful woman, where would we be? Because when 3 days had passed. The woman went to the tomb. Everybody else was scattered around. The disciples wasn't there. But the woman, they went to the tomb. They wanted to do him up. They wanted to prepare him. They wanted to make sure that Jesus, their son, their nephew, looked good, that he smelled good, even though he was dead 3 days. I want you to know right now that we do some things, and regardless of how we smell, our mother and our auntie want to make sure that we smell good, that we look good, no matter what it is that we go through. We're standing around saying, I ain't going to go. He's dead already. I'm not going there. But the mother and the auntie, they went because they wanted to take care of Jesus. They wanted to take care of their son. They wanted to take care of their nephew. Amen? And then what happened? And sometimes when they tell us something, we don't want to even hear it. They ran to tell the disciples. And there was like, oh, forget about it. You don't even know what you're talking about. He's dead and he's gone. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do. Right? Don't you get that all the time? We're told to do something and we say, no, we're figuring out what we're going to do. We don't need that. I remember my wife told me to get Easy Pass. I said, no, that's a fad. I'm not getting that. I'm not giving them the people my money. She said, no, you can go right through. You don't even have to wait. Well, it took me about 3 more times to wait in a long line for 30 or 40 minutes, and I got my Easy Pass. But this is the thing, and she was patient with me. And you know what? She didn't rub it in my face. At least not right in my face. She waited. But that's the love and the patience that a mother, a wife, a grandma, an auntie, they have. Hallelujah. If it was not for the faithful woman, hallelujah, where would we be? Look around this church right now. If it was not, somebody look around. Look around. If it was not for the faithful woman, where would we be? I'm working on the brothers, but you know that's a hard sell. You know, I can identify, we hard. It takes a while. It takes a while. I got my work cut out for me. So I need some of you mothers, and I need some of you sisters and grandma and aunties to help pastor to get them in, because they ain't going to listen to me. Hallelujah. But if I could get just a few faithful women to just touch some of these men, to continue to witness to them, oh, we have a church full of men. And I'm going to tell you, men are loyal. And once you get them, you got them. You probably want to get rid of them. But don't undercut them. Don't undersell them. There's strength in men too. Hallelujah. But it just takes us a while. Hallelujah. It took for the disciples to come and see Jesus was not in the tomb. From them to realize that he had overcome death. Hallelujah. It took them a while. It took some of us even longer. It took Thomas a long while. And we know Thomas, don't we? Come on, church. We know Thomas, don't we? Don't it take Thomas a long while? Thomas just don't take what you say. You got to prove it to Thomas. You got to show him the bill. You got to give him the check. You got to say, here's the phone. I done been there. I did it. My God. Yes. Thomas says, I don't believe it till you prove it to me, till I touch it. Hallelujah. Must be something about that name. You know there's something about the name of Jesus. There's got to be something about the name of Thomas. But once the Lord got him, come on, somebody. Once the Lord got him, he was loyal. He did what he had to do. Hallelujah. There's something about a name. There's something about mothers. There's something about women. There's something about the power that you possess. So I tell you today, we honor you. I just want you to know that we really honor you. Hallelujah. I used to think that my mother was a softie. Hallelujah. But my father said she's a strong woman.
Yes, she is.
She had a small little voice.
Yes, she did.
Until she started screaming.
Uh-huh.
And there was power sometimes in that woman that I never seen before. Hallelujah. And when she got under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you better watch out. Hallelujah. You better watch out. You know, still waters, quiet waters, they run deep. Hallelujah. And there's mothers here that are here now that have been here. They appeared to be so quiet. But I thank God I wasn't in the home when they got home if there was something that went on that they didn't like. Because you know what? Part of what we have to learn is that we don't have to say everything that we got to say out in front. We don't even have to say it on Facebook and Instagram and social media, all of that stuff, whatever you got to say, you can say it to somebody. And you don't have to put it out there for everybody to know. Hallelujah. Because once you put it out there, you can't take it back. You cannot take it back. You can be forgiven, but it ain't forgotten. Because somebody else is going to turn around and find it maybe 2 to 3 years later and say, well, you said that? You were going through that? Hallelujah. Remember, some people are kisses. Some people are clingers. And let me tell you something about them kisses that come in here on Sunday and the devil on Monday. They're the ones putting that stuff out there on Facebook. Because you can come in here and smile in my face, but you put that stuff out there, people are going to see it, they're going to know it. And the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. So are you clinging this morning or are you kissing? I believe that this church has mothers that are clinging.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I believe that we got some clinging mothers here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you to stand this